Guess what the name of the series is? Yeah, walk 47 miles in barbed wire. How many of you know that song? Who sings it? Sinners. Sinners. Actually, everybody says George Thorogood. I got corrected. I was corrected in first service. Actually, Bo Diddley did it the first time. Did y'all know that? Look, some of the, yeah. Charlie, how do you know? I'm just kidding. Yeah, Bo Diddley did it the first time, then George Thorogood did it. He did some other songs like Bad to the Bone. I Drink Alone, but we don't want to talk about that one. All right. There's some other ones he did. But here's the truth. We are starting this series. Oh, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Who do you what? Who do you love? Who do you love? That's the title of this entire series. Who do you love? And actually, it's a very important question when it comes to loving God, doesn't it? Isn't that an important question? Here's the reality. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Now, this entire series is based around one principle, and it's money. Money. Who do you love? Now, before I get going, let me set it up this way. How many of you know who these people are? Masato Sakaya. Japan. I mean, anybody know that guy? Anybody know that guy? All right. How about this? Tamara Kinder, yeah. From Hungary. Anybody know who those people are? Nobody knows who those people are? I'll tell you why you don't know who they are. Because they lost to Michael Phelps. They lost to Michael Phelps. That's the first loser and the second loser. How many of you know who Michael Phelps are? You know who he is? Absolutely. You got to know who Michael Phelps is. Now, check this out. What this is the 2016 200-meter butterfly. This is actually, if you want to break it down, here's the entire race and how they finished in order. And if you were going to look at this, let me tell you who I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for this Masato Saki, whatever, from Japan. I feel sorry for this guy. Because you know that coach showed up at practice every day going, well, we're going for silver. Because Michael Phelps, you ain't beating Michael Phelps in a pool. His name should have been Gil. Because that man is a fish, man. But listen, here's the truth. When it comes to this, how many of you believe all these people showed up each and every day at practice? How many of you believe they were competing to be eighth? What were they showing up each and every day to practice and go to the Olympics for? Come on, they wanted to be what? They wanted to be first. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be first. They wasn't competing, even though they knew they would be swimming against Michael Phelps. They wanted to be first. They wanted to win that gold medal. Well, I'm here to tell you. Would you say, Pastor Charlie, what's that got to do with giving? What's that got to do with anything? Here it is. You ready? Jesus desires to be first in your life. He did not save you. Jesus did not come to the earth, die on a cross, bleed out for you, 5 quarts of blood to save the world so that he could be second in your world. He didn't come to compete for that. He didn't come to be third. He didn't come to be 10th. See, the Bible teaches us the principle that God desires, Jesus himself desires to be first in your life. How many of you believe that this morning? Absolutely. And let me tell you why. The principle is very simple. Here it is. God knows that if you move him from first to second, then third is not far from second. Then fifth is not far from third. Seventh is not far from fifth. And before you know it. Now, I will give you this. If you're here this morning, you got up, ran a bunch of kids to the car, did a bunch of crazy stuff. I believe in every person that's in here, God, Jesus himself, is at least in your top 10. Come on, can I get a witness? If you've got 4 kids, I know he's in your top 5. You had to beat somebody, at least one, to get here. All right? So I get it. I understand. But here's what I'm saying in light of that. Is Christ number one in your life? Is he number one in your life? Let me just say this. He desires to be number one. He didn't save you to compete with you. He saved you to be number one in your life. To be number one. He desires in everything to be number one. So let me ask you a question. Here it is. What is the one area for a Christian to keep Christ first in? Or let me say it the way I got it written. What is the one area that is the hardest for Christians to put God first in? What is the hardest? And listen, let me just say this. As a pastor, but more importantly as a Christian, I feel you. Because it's hard for me too. What is the one area? Money, man. Money's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. Money's hard to put God first. How many of you know family? Family's easy. It's like, Lord, help me to deal with them. Come on. Come on. Sometimes that's easy. You know what I mean? At work, Lord, I can't go in there without you. And you go in. I mean, you know, there's a lot of areas where putting God first is easy. I'm not by any means denying that. But can I tell you that I believe personally the hardest place to keep continuously God first in is in money. Money is the hardest place to keep God first in. It is the hardest thing. And let me show you why. Let me show you why. Jesus said it this way. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and what? Love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Can't serve, watch this, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and money. See, what you don't realize is God and money compete, and they compete on the same level, believe it or not. Notice this, Jesus did not say, you will love God or serve the devil. Look, He said it, you cannot serve both God and money. See, if I was writing this, which I didn't, but if I was writing it, I would say, you can't serve God and the devil. But can I tell you, most people are not out there Ouija boarding, cutting chickens' heads off, throwing bones. If so, you need prayer now. Most people aren't doing that, y'all. And the enemy is slick enough that he knows he himself may not be able to lure you away from God. But can I tell you, money is a little different. And money is amazing because it actually, get this, the reason it's so dangerous is because it actually gives you a false sense of what God gives you. Some people look to their money for security. Some people look to their money for happiness. Some people look to their money, watch this, for status. Some people look to their money for peace. They put money in that place. Only to find out as they live life, the longer they live, the more they realize, you know what? Money is just a tool. And no matter how much you have of it, you really, it doesn't bring any more happiness than what it does from the beginning. And then, and if you're young, if you're under 20, under 30, under 40, you think if I had more money, I'd be happier. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been around this planet very long, you'll realize that money isn't happiness. Those two are not necessarily coexisting. See, money is actually gives you a counterfeit of what God himself actually gives you. And if you worship money, you will have a false sense of security, a false sense of worship, a false sense of identity, a false sense of those things. But if you put God as number one and allow money to be a tool in your life, you'll realize that you'll have your identity in him, you'll have your peace in him, you'll actually have the right priority in your life. You'll have God. You have God first. You have God first. See, you can't serve God and money. You will hate one and love the other, or love one and hate the other. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are like, I'm not understanding. Well, I got this little picture that'll help you. You can't serve both the Colts and the Patriots. You just can't do that. Right? Right? Come on. You know I'm right. How many Colts fans? All right. How many Patriots fans? Okay, let me speak to this just for a minute before we go on back to the message. Let me speak to this for a second, all right? First of all, if you're from Indiana or you grew up in Indiana rooting for the Colts, you're to be a Colts fan. Which we do have some folks in our church from Maine in New England, Karen Brogna. So it's okay for her to root for the Patriots. She's not a traitor, all right? But if you grew up here and you root for these guys, you are a traitor, traitor, traitor. And you need ministry, all right? You need ministry, all right? And now let me just go a little bit further, from this. Because if you don't like the Patriots, there's some other people you should not like. Dallas Cowboys. I'm looking for my buddy's. He needs prayer. He's a Cowboys fan. He's a Cowboys fan. But here's the truth. As a kid, I hated the Cowboys. Hated it. You want to know why? I grew up in Louisiana, all right, until I was 12. All right? And so I rooted for the Saints. And everybody hated the Cowboys because back then they didn't have salary caps. So my dad used to always, my daddy said so. He said, they buy Super Bowls. And if it ain't true, don't tell me because that's what daddy said, all right? But here's the reality. How many of you know you can't love both of these? Now, I'm using that as an illustration to say, y'all all get that. We understand that. That you can't do that, you know? I mean, who's rooting against the Patriots this Super Bowl? You are my peeps. You are my peeps, man. I don't care. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care if they're playing the Cowboys. Now, put the Cowboys against anybody else, I'm rooting against them. But they got to go down. Right? There's something just ingrained. You understand, and I understand you can't serve too. Can I tell you, when it comes to the Bible's saying the same exact thing except about money and God. You can't have both. You can't have both. You're going to fall in love with one, and you're going to hate the other. That's the way it works. Listen to this. Money is the number one competitor in our hearts. Not the devil. Money. Money is the number one competitor of the Christian's heart. We have to continuously and constantly watch over our heart when it comes to money. You can't serve both. Let me give you another thing. Money is often a tangible, countable, and visible God in our life. See, because it is so tangible and so physical and such a real thing that sometimes we get a false sense of what it can bring. And I done told you, it's just a counterfeit. Because you get to the end of the year life, listen, I don't know how many people I've ministered to and loved on and been there when they were passing away, but I know even within our family, people live their whole lives saving all this money, doing all these things, only to get to the last 10 years of their life and then have to dump it all. Have to dump it all, get rid of it as fast as they can. Been there, done that with a family member. It's a terrible thing. And you know what? It broke those older people. They feel terrible about, they've worked their whole lives to have this nest egg and to have all these things and to have the house and the car and all that stuff. And again, nothing wrong with us having things. It's just don't allow it to be a false position in your heart. So now, let me get a couple disclaimers out of the way. Let me say this. I know what you're thinking. The church just wants my money. Last night, everybody left the church service last night like this, guarding their wallets. All right. Pastor, hey, Pastor Charlie. Okay. So I get it, man. I get it. Somebody's going to go home. What do you mean by that? All right. It's where the wallet is. All right. But listen, I get it. Please don't misunderstand. I do believe that there are some churches that just want your money. I believe that. Believe that. I'm not denying that. And if you've came from a church or been in a church like that, please understand, I feel your pain. I'm annoyed at churches that just want people's money. I will tell you, and this is where I just want you to hear my heart on this. I've never done this for the money. Never. Our church culture here, we don't do this for the money. Actually, I could care less about the money. That it's been 2 years since I've done a money series at all. Because I just don't. It's just not my priority. I just don't care about the money. Why? Because see, when we started the church, we started with just a handful of people. And I did this for free for 2 years. I never did this for the money. Nor do I even care now about the money. That's not the issue. See, because I don't even know what people give. Now, I will tell you this. If you give us a substantial gift, 1,000, 5,000, 100,000, haven't had one of them yet, but anyway... If you give a substantial gift to the church, I do call people if they give a substantial gift and say thank you. And listen, that's not to point anybody out, and I don't even point them out. I just call them personally and thank them. Say, why do I do that? Because in my heart, it's the least I could do. If you're going to entrust us with your money, the least I could do is say thank you. Thank you. And if you've given over the last year, I say thank you from here. But I will tell you this, outside of that, I don't know what anybody gives. I have no idea. You do not have to come up to me and say, Pastor Charlie, I missed my tithe last week, but I'll catch it up next week. Because I don't even know. Here's the reality. I don't even care. I don't care. I'm here to preach you the gospel and for you to do with it what you would have do with it. Y'all hear my heart? So money is not the issue with me. So I don't pray for some and not the, no, we don't play that game here. We do it across the board. It's always been that way at Abundant Life Church. I don't care. I remember one time we received a gift for $35,000 and they came and told me and I said, are you sure? Did you count the zeros? All right. And of course I called that person out of a courtesy because I appreciate that they would entrust us with that. I really, really do. You know? And so yeah, that's where we go. But can I assure you, that's not our motive. I have no idea what people give. Don't even care. Because see, listen to this. I learned this early in the church. It all comes from God. Even though you are the conduit, God supplies for this place. It's not the individual. It's what God does here. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So I never get my eyes on people. I never put my eyes on people. I don't do any of that. And listen, here's the truth. You ready? If you have a problem giving to this church, Abundant Life Church, I want to challenge you. If you think this message is just about your money and your tithe, here's the deal. You ready? Tithe to another church. If you think Abundant Life Church is here just to get your money, give to another local church. Now, please make sure it's a church. Well, Grandma needs my money. Grandma's not a church. Give to a church. Give to another local church because it's not about that. I care more about you putting God first and I care more about you growing in your faith than I care about your money. Are y'all hearing my heart? I want you to know, to me, in my world, it's about you and I learning to put God first. Has nothing to do with your money. Nothing to do with your money. Your money is simply a tool from which God can do big things with. It's there as a tool. All right? So get this. This is not about the church getting your money. This is about God getting your heart. It's about God getting your heart. It's about God getting your heart. God getting your heart. So listen, I'm going to give you tithing and giving this week. Next week, I'm going to talk about the blessed rest. I'm going to talk about how you should be a good steward over the 90% that God gives you back. And then the following week, what I want to do is I want to cast some vision. Talk about what we're going to be doing here as a church as far as adding on, building, buying properties and all that, okay? So that's the next 3 weeks in a nutshell of what we'll be doing. Because I always want to make sure we're conveying open, honest, because I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor Charlie, you're talking about giving. When are you going to give something to the parking lot? Have you seen that thing out there? I hear you, pain, man. I hear you. We're going to fix that. But I just want you to know kind of the next 3 weeks and how this is all going to break down. So now, back to my message here. Who do you love? Who do you love? Do you love money or do you love God? Do you love money or do you love God? Which one do you love? Now, it's easy for us to say God, but does your money reflect that? See, and I will tell you, like I said before, the hardest place for you to continually keep God first is in your money. It's a challenge. I mean, you know, when you're looking at a bill and you're looking at a tithe. I mean, you know, if you make, you know, $10 a week and giving a dollar out of the 10, it's like, well, it's 10 bucks. It's only a dollar. I mean, you know, when you start dealing like $100,000, right, now $10,000, right? Or let's say you're a millionaire, $100,000. Come on, how many of you got some millionaire faith, $100,000 tithe? Y'all don't want to be blessed, huh? It's like, man, how many of you know you don't get there overnight? It's a process of growing your faith on giving to God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So now, which do you love? Here's the deal. This is what the Bible says. 1 Timothy says this. For the love of money is the root of what? All kinds of evil, man. You can get yourself in a mess. The devil has understood mankind so long that he knows that he doesn't necessarily have to lure you away. But if he can put money out there as a god that you will chase, he will then have you. How do I know that? For some have strayed from their faith because of what? because of greediness. And it pierced who? Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. As a pastor, man, that's the thing I hate. I hate seeing our people, and this is why it's important that as a pastor, I give you a well-balanced diet of the Word of God, that I teach on giving and tithing, and I teach on a lot of other things. But here's the reality. I don't want you pierced through with many sorrows. I remember one time I was ministering to this guy, and I've known this guy ever since he was a kid. Actually, we grew up together. And he actually has lived with a woman most of his adult life. And I remember asking him, I said, dude, and he's kind of a friend. I grew up with him. So I said, hey, man, why don't you guys just get married? I mean, you've been together. You live in a house. Your kids call her mom, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you guys just get married? He said, man, she's on disability. If we do that, they'll take her money. And listen, on a practical side, I maybe can get that. I understand that. I understand maybe you look at the finances and you say, if she didn't have that check coming in, then, you know, we wouldn't be able to make it and this and that and the other. But can I tell you from a biblical side, you are actually piercing yourself through with many sorrows. And God would actually bless and honor you more. And God would meet your need if you did it right, rather than chasing money and making money your God instead of God your God. See, God don't bless a mess. And as long as you live in that, it's hard for God to move in that. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? The truth is, if you would do it right, God would bless. And God wants to bless. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Look at this next verse, Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your character and your moral disposition be free from what? The love of money, from greed and craving earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your what? Present. I know we don't have any old people in here today, but this is something, if you hang around with older people, you realize that the older people get, oftentimes the more content they get. And if you hang around with some older people, none are here today, you'll realize that living simpler makes you happier. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Now, if you're under 40 here, you think you got to have everything and get everything and have it and hoard it and have it because there you find happiness. Only to let you know, about 40 years from now, you'll have a completely different opinion about it. You'll find out that all those things didn't bring you any more happiness than what you had with a little bit. Yeah. Is it wrong to have things? Absolutely not. Are you more content with less? Absolutely. You don't realize that, though, until about halfway into your life. You realize the simpler I live, the happier I am. The happier I am. So money and all those things are not happiness. Actually, living simpler is happier. Happier. I think life is backwards. Anybody else? I think you should be born a billionaire and be broke when you go out. Anybody know what I'm saying? Anybody else feel that? Think about it. When you were young, you know, in your 20s and you're having kids, you need money and you're broke. By the time you get older, it's like, well, we got all this excess. What are we going to do? You know, we don't have any kids. Come on. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. But anyway, all right. We're still waiting on the access part in our lives. We have kids still. But anyway, but listen to this. How do we love God with our money? How do we, in a practical way, say God is first in our money? Well, I'm going to tell you right here. The Bible teaches this principle first and foremost, the tithe. The tithe. Say, Pastor Charlie, I've heard about the tithe. We've got a whole generation that doesn't even know what the tithe is. I've talked to people before, and they're like, yeah, Pastor Charlie, I tithe. You do. I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I gave $5 last week. Yeah, you did. You didn't tithe. Did you make $50 last week? No, I made $800. You made $800, and you gave $5? You didn't tithe, honey. You tipped. And a bad one at that. I mean, a bad tip. It's a bad tip. $5? Really? $5? You tipped. That's all you did. You didn't tithe. Why? Because the tithe is the principle of this. 1/10 of the income. Actually, it's better than the government. The government, the more you make, the more they punish you. But anyway, I'm done. I'm done. Not going political. I'm just saying 1/10, one tithe. That means out of every $10, it's $1. People ask, Pastor Charlie, do I give off the gross or the net? I'll say this. Number one, which one do you want to be blessed off of? The gross or the net? I believe that people should tithe off their gross. Their gross. Why? Because it's the principle of putting God first. God comes before the government. God is first in my life. And because God is first, I give to him. I give to him first. I give to him first. This is the tithe. I know that some people have thought, I've had people ask me these questions. Pastor Charlie, I give to grandma. She struggles to pay her bills. I tithe to grandma. I said, no, the tithe doesn't go to grandma. Although, let me say this. I believe that is charitable. I believe that is good. I believe it's good to help your family. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm just saying, technically speaking, biblically speaking, that is not the tithe. The tithe is this. The tithe is you returning what God has given you, a portion of it. Actually, I don't even like the term tithe, just to be real honest with you. As a pastor, I don't like the term tithe. And the reason I don't like it is because it really doesn't get to the nitty-gritty of what the Bible is really saying. See, when it comes to the Bible, really what God is saying is, God gives you 100%. You return a tithe, a 10%. In other words, for everything that God gives you, there's a portion that is divine, that belongs to God. So it'd be better if we called it the divine portion of God's. Because God gives you 100%. All he's asking is for 10% back. Watch this. Not because he needs it. How many of y'all know he's got streets of gold? How many of you know God does not need your money? God doesn't need your money. That's why as a church, we don't need your money. Give tithe to another church. Praise God. Now, don't all y'all do that. Praise God. We'll be in trouble. This is where you, let me clarify a little bit here. But here's the reality. The reality is this. The reality is, get this. There's always a portion of what God gives us that belongs to him. And it's not because he needs it. It's because he wants to bless the rest. And I'm going to talk about all that next week. And I'm actually stumping on next week's message. But you get what I'm saying. Here we go. Look at this. This is some stats. Christianity Today said this. 70% of tithe is based upon the gross of and not the net. 63% started giving 10% or more of their income when they were a child or in their 20s. This is why we got to teach our kids to tithe. We've taught our kids to tithe ever since they were very little. Their first dime that they ever received, that they got, they've tithed on it. We've actually just said to our kids, if you live here, you tithe, you give. We want you to learn to discipline yourself from now to tithe. And my kids are crazy. Well, I don't know about Whitney. She's in Kansas. I wish she'd tithe to me back. But anyway, with Michael, if he goes out and earns money, he'll say, hey, Mom, make sure you give my tithe. You know, because he'll cash his check and give it to mom, and then mom gives it. Listen, make sure I tithe, because he understands this. If I continue to tithe, then God will continue to bless and increase me. He will, for sure. Check this out. Barna Research says this, 79% of all evangelicals give. Notice the wording, give. You know how many evangelicals tithe? You're going to be blown away. 5%. 5% of evangelicals actually tithe. 5%. 5%. If the church would tithe, if Christians would tithe to their local church, the gospel would explode. People would be fed. People would be blessed. We could actually fulfill all that the Bible says the church is supposed to be doing. A lot of people are like, well, the church should be doing more. I agree. But you know what? There's a practical side of that. The church should be doing more. And it has to do with money. Come on, am I real? Yes. I'm being serious. If people would do what God has called them to do, then we could do more. Check this out. The devil isn't holding the church back. The love of money is what holds the church back many times. The love of money. We esteem money more than we esteem what God has said. See, check this out. Christianity Today, another one. What keeps non-tithing Christians from giving? Here's what they found. 38% say they can't afford it, all right? 33% say they have too much debt. And 18% says their spouse does not agree with them. Well, the last one's easy. Get rid of the spouse. All right, next. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her. That's just what I've heard. Rumor has it. I don't know. No, here's the truth. I'm going to give you one answer to all three of these, all right? Because if you get rid of her, you're going to be in debt and have more alimony and child support. But anyway, I'm back. Listen to this. Check this out. I'm going to give you one answer for all three of these. One answer for all three. All right? I'm going to show you how to combat that. Because I believe in my heart, there are many of you in here like this today. You say, we got too much debt to be able to tithe one-tenth. Or we just don't believe we can afford it. Or my spouse and I, we just can't get an agreement on what to give. I'm going to give you one answer. I'm going to show you how to fix that. Listen to this. When Michelle and I do not believe that everybody shows up, gives their heart to Christ, and then it's easy for them to write one-tenth of their paycheck away. How many of y'all know I get it? And it was hard for us. Michelle and I, when we first got married, got saved, started giving to God, we struggled because there were times when we could give, then we'd go long stretches where we wouldn't give at all. And I felt like a dirtbag. Felt like a dirtbag. And Michelle would be like, well, we just can't, blah, 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 blah. So we got in together, and here's what we said. I said to her, I said, Michelle, what can we tithe or what can we give on a regular basis every week and not veer off? I remember so vividly, we were at another church, and she said, I can give $50 this week. I said, no, that's not what I asked. I didn't ask, what can we do this week? I'm asking this. What can we give every week? See, because here's what I understood and she understands now, that it is a discipline you get into. It is a discipline. It is a, you are called a disciple. It's full of discipline. It has to be something I do every week. I have to get into the discipline of it. So how did the discipline work with Michelle and I? Here's what I said. What can we do every week and not veer off? I said, I don't think we can do 50. She goes, no, we can't do 50 every week. I said, okay, can we do 20? Can we do 20 every week? She goes, yeah, I think we could do 20. And she acted kind of nonchalant about it. Yeah, we could do 20 every week. I said, okay, that's our giving. We're going to give every week $20. That's just what we're going to give. And I kid you not, we were faithful to $20. Faithful to $20. We gave $20. Next thing you know, we get a raise. God blesses, God increases. Next thing you know, we can give $40. Not even a big deal. We didn't even miss the money, and God's blessing the rest. And then we were able to give, and we continue to grow in our faith till we were able to give a tithe. You say, Pastor Charlie, does it work that way with everybody? Maybe not everybody, but I can assure you of this. This is how it worked with me. You say, well, then what's the point? What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. If you are married and you can't tithe, what can you touch and agree on and believe God that you can give every week consistently to build it as a discipline in your life? That's number one. If you are single, I would say the same thing. What can you do and get to where you can give every week? If it's $5, it's $5. Believe it or not, we have people that tithe $5 a week. $5 a week. I say tithe. Give $5 a week. That's not one-tenth of their income. They give $5 a week. And you know what? I'm all right with that. You say, is God all right with that? Here's what I'll say. God is all right with you growing in your faith. And God is not against you in this area. And don't allow this to be a stumbling block for your relationship with God. Listen, you continue to grow in your giving, and God will continue to bless. God will continue to honor. And believe it or not, before too long, you will be stretched in this area, and you'll grow, and you'll grow, and you'll grow to where you're giving, and it doesn't even affect you. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? So I don't want you to use this as a condemnation deal. It's not like that. This is an area that you can grow in. See, get this. Tithing, also, I've heard this. They don't give because tithing is the Old Testament law. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that tithing is an Old Testament principle. Matter of fact, let me give it to you this way. This is Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Then, this is Cain and Abel. Then she, Eve, bore again, this time a brother Abel. Now, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the what? Tiller of the ground. Now, watch this. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Notice, Cain just brought fruit of the ground. He brought an offering to the Lord. Now watch the next one. Watch the next verse. Abel also brought the, what did he bring? Firstborn. Okay, so it's not just the tithe. It's the order in which you give it. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's the first. So let's go back to what I was saying just a minute ago. If you can give faithfully $5, make sure it's the first $5. Make sure it's the first. Why? Because the principle is to put God to put God first. So how can you pay all your stuff and do all this and be like, well, we got 20 left over. Here you go, God. How many of you know that's not the heart of giving? The heart of giving is to put God first. This has nothing to do with your money. It has everything to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. Where is your heart? See, in my heart, I want to put God first. Why would I give him leftovers? I want to put God first. God is honored when we put him first. Look at this. It goes on to say, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. And he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. He had a fart face about it. I know what a fart face is. Why? Because he didn't put God first. He knew. Anybody ever met rich people with fart face? It's because they worship their money. Okay, I'm done. Listen, here's the deal. Here's another one. This is Genesis chapter 14, 450 years before the law. Then Melchizedek, who is a type and shadow of Christ, the king of Salem, Jerusalem, brought bread and wine. I know what some of you are thinking. Partay! No, it isn't like that. This is communion. This represents communion. So this is Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, king of Jerusalem, brought bread and wine, and he was the priest of the God Most High. Watch this. And he blessed him, Abram, and said, blessed be Abram and the God of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God of the Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. Look at the next verse. And he gave him a tithe of what? Tithe of all. Tithe of all. He got 100% gift from God, and he returned a tithe. He gave a tithe to God 450 years before the law was ever established. The tithe came before the law, all right? Now watch this. Genesis 28 says this. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Watch this. And this stone which I have set here is the pillar shall be called what? God's house. God's house. Where is it? God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Tithe. 400 years before the law ever came. My point is, I'm trying to show you that that tithing predates the law. This has nothing to do with the law. This has everything to do with what's called the divine portion that God requires back. Now listen to this, Leviticus. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is what? Holy to the Lord. Do you know the Bible never says, give God your tithe? Doesn't say give God your tithe. Here's what it says. Bring the tithe. See, for you to give your tithe, that means it was yours. But for the Lord to say, bring your tithe means it's his. You had 100% and you're to return the tenth, which is his. So it's a bring. Bring your tithe into the storehouse, Malachi 3. Bring your tithe. Bring your tithe. Bring your tithe. Why? Because you're returning it to the Lord. Because it's his and it's holy. Get this. You say, Pastor Charlie, that's all good. That's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Here it is. Matthew chapter 23 says this. What sorrow awaits you, O teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe of the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. How many of you believe those are important? Justice, mercy, and faith? Come on, anybody like justice? I like justice. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that annoys me about God. God is so patient with justice. You ever read the verse? Justice is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. How many of you believe God takes way too long sometimes? How many of you know it's easier for you to just handle it? Be like, I got it, God. Don't worry about this one. I'll take care of it. Can I get assigned that one? I'm just saying. Look, it goes on to say, you shall, watch this. It says, but you ignore the more important parts of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Watch this. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Don't neglect those. So did Jesus say, don't tithe? What did he say? Tithe, tithe, absolutely. So here are my challenges to you. If you're taking notes, write these down real quick, and I'm going to give them to you pretty quick. I just want to expound on them. Number one, you ready? Here it is. We are more like God. We are most like God when we give. See, why does God want us to be a giver? Because we're more like God that time than any other time. More like God. I was so blessed. My son this last year for one of his teachers at school is a World War II buff, history buff. And my son got together with some of the boys in the class, and they all pitched in $10 and bought this tank. It was like $175, all right? They all pitched in without the teacher knowing, all right? They all pitched in. This was for Christmas. They all pitched in and bought this tank that smokes and shoots BBs and does all these crazy things. My son organized it and got all the kids to pitch in $10 and then brought it right before Christmas break and gave it to the teacher. And Michael's like, he called me. He's so pumped. He's like, Dad, the teacher loved it. It was awesome, man. He drove it around the classroom, went down to Peter Heck's classroom, shot it at. He loved it. loved it. It was awesome. And I told him, I said, Mike, that's exactly what the Bible meant when it said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a blessing to be a giver. You are more like God when you give than in any other point in your life. You are more like God. You should feel that in your heart, that when you give, it's a blessing. Amen? Let me give you the second one. If you're taking notes, write this one down. So, check this out. We give to what we love, no doubt about it. You give to what you love. If you say you love God, then you should give. Now, everybody look at me. Look at me. Here's my disclaimer. Everybody, no cow licks. Check this out. If you're here today and you don't give, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It is absolutely okay. Say, why is that? Here's my point. Keep coming to church. Keep coming to church. Keep growing in your faith. Say, why is that important? Because here's why. I have a totally different view on giving than most people and most preachers. Say, how is that? Listen to this. We give to what we love. It is my responsibility to teach you who God is, what he's done for you, and how he wants to touch your life. See, because I believe that as you fall in love with the God that I love, you can't help but want to give back to him. You can't. So if you're here today and you don't give, it's okay. I'm not offended. God's not even offended. Here's what I will say. You just haven't fallen in love to the level that you feel free to give to him. That's all. That's all. It's okay. Because I believe if you keep growing in your faith and you keep coming, you'll start learning more about God, you'll eventually get to a place where you just fall in love with him and you can't help but to give to him. You just can't help but give to him. Because I can tell you, that's where I'm at. I can't help but to give him. I just want to give to God any way I can. I want to give him everything I have. Praise God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. This is not about condemning you. It's about you growing in your faith. Again, I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm almost done here in a couple hours. This has nothing to do with money. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. All right, last point, and then I'll shut up. We honor God. When we give to God, we give him our first, and we give him our best. Amen? Amen. So no matter what you give, make sure you're giving your first and your best to God. I think about the situation where Jesus was talking about the one man who came, and he had great wealth, and he poured all his wealth out. And the Bible says that people saw him, and they were like, oh, you're just a big giver. You must really love God. And then a lady came by. She had 2 pennies, the Bible says. The widow's mite. You've heard the story. And she gave 2 pennies. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, this lady who had 2 pennies gave more than that man. For he loved to be seen by the crowd. She just gave because she loved God. So it isn't the amount. It's the heart that you give with it. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? And he said this. She gave her best. It was all that she had. Even though to other people, they didn't praise her for her giving, Jesus saw the intent of her heart. And because of that, he praised her. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God praise me than man praise me any day. Come on, amen? Amen. Here's the last verse I got for you, and then I'm done. Zechariah says this, 4:10. I love this verse. It says, for who has despised the day of small beginnings? I just don't believe that people start out writing a tithe check. I think that's a hard one. And I know some people do. Some people get saved and they don't have no problem doing it and all that, and that's all fine and well. Can I tell you, no matter where you're at, start doing something. Maybe you're here today and you tithe regularly. Maybe it's time for you to give an offering then. Maybe you're here today and you've never given at all. Maybe it's just that first step of giving something small. Maybe it's one of those things where you tithe sporadically. And the reason you tithe sporadically or give sporadically is because you and your spouse can't get an agreement. Because bless God, we're Christians and we should tithe. And then your spouse is like, yeah, but I do the bills. Come on. How about you guys touch and agree and figure it out together and compromise with each other. And I promise as you do that, God will honor that and God will bless it and you will see increase. I guarantee it. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? I believe that with all my heart. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Start where you're at. That's the great thing about God. He meets us where we're at and grows us from there. Aren't you glad? Give the Lord a big clap. I'm done. Praise God.